I wanted to let you know, I got Brother Skip Kincaid's newsletter this week. And they've had three pastors in Reynosa who have passed away from the coronavirus, and he asked that we remember them in prayer. And as a result of the resurgence in Mexico, the leaders have not allowed any cross-border traffic. So Brother Skip is kind of holed up in his home and not able to go and preach and do as he normally would. So also remember him. He said he's 85, and he said, you know, my knees aren't what they used to be. And he said, I still love praying for people. And he said, I do every chance I get, but sometimes I have to sit down when I'm praying for them. So just remember him. This is a trying time for everyone. And of course, he's alone there. So remember him. First of all, I want to thank you all for not walking out and leaving last week or laughing at me when I made a pretty gross faux pas in misnaming who Cornelius was. I knew when I said the words, it didn't come out like it should have sounded. He was not the first one who was converted, but he was the first Gentile who was baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you remember, Peter had the vision and went and all of that. So I apologize for that error last week. And I wanted to straighten that out in case anybody was more confused than I was. So today, if we can get all the characters straight and the facts in line, I want to look at a question that I've been asking for the last couple of months. This is very personal. And simply put, I would just call it, how then shall I live? What's God's plan for me? Does he have a plan for me? And I'm not just speaking of me, of course. I'm speaking of us collectively. Are we in his plan right now? And believe me, this is no complaint. This is no pity party. This is a glory testimony. And I think you'll agree with me. But I know that as for myself and each of you, we want to be in the will of the Lord, no matter what the cost. I know we believe that. So I want to read a passage of Scripture. If you'll turn to Luke 22, verse 31, we're going to start right there. I may have to stop and catch my breath now and again as I'm getting through this. As I told you, it is very personal. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you now, both to prison and even to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that you shall deny me three times. This passage is recounting the period just before Jesus' crucifixion. Of course, this is in multiple of the Gospels, and this is the version Jesus was admonishing the disciples and foretelling of Judas's betrayal that was soon to happen. And here in this passage, he's telling Peter of his own forthcoming failure. Peter had been very close to Jesus. Think about it. 3 years he traveled and ministered with him. He saw he was a true believer. But yet Jesus said, "Before the rooster signifies this day is over, Peter, you will have denied knowing me 3 times. Jesus implied that, "Peter, what you don't know is Satan desires to have you. He's asked me for you. He wants to make you fail. He wants to make you fall and sift you like wheat to be blown away in the wind. But Peter, don't worry. I have prayed for you. I've prayed that your faith doesn't fail." You know, Jesus could have said, "Peter, I'm praying that you never make a mistake. I'm praying that you don't fall. I'm praying that you just sail right on through." But that wasn't what Jesus said. He said, "I'm praying that your faith fails not. Because when you do fail me, and when you do fall, it's going to hurt you. And you're going to be sorry and shameful and remorseful. And you may turn your back on God and be so sorry that you did this that you lose faith in me, like Judas did when he felt there was no hope for him." But instead of dwelling on the failure, Jesus said these words, "Peter, after you've made your failure, you will come back to me stronger than you were, and then you're going to go to your brethren and strengthen them." Think about that. Jesus just predicted you're going to have a major fall. You're going to blow it, Peter. But then you're going to come back to me, and you're going to find a deeper faith in me, a deeper place in me than you've ever known. And when you get to that point, go and strengthen the brothers. They're going to need you. Can you imagine? Jesus knew this was happening. Facing the cross in a few hours' time. And yet he made a way for Peter to come back and be stronger than he was. There is an ant on this paper. Peter wasn't a sinner. He was a believer. But Jesus knew he had a weakness that he needed strengthening. After the denial of Christ, Peter's overconfidence in himself and his pride in thinking that he was ready to go the last mile of the way with Jesus, whether to prison or death, was replaced by an appropriate humility and a holy boldness and a strength of character that few of the other disciples displayed. Jesus knew that Peter's heart was, and he allowed this test and this failure to show Peter his own need for constant dependence on him. Yet Peter's increased faith and growth and character allowed him to stay focused on God. And when he did go to prison for Christ's sake, which he did do, he and John were delivered from prison by the angel, he was joyful because he knew in whom he had believed. And then in the book of Acts, we see this on fire, reborn, strong man of God working miracle after miracle after miracle. even more than the others. We see Peter preaching to thousands and moving them to faith in Christ, praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Cornelius, which was then spread throughout all the Gentile nations, healing the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, raising the dead woman, Dorcas or Tabitha, same person, and on and on and on the miracles go that are attributed to Peter. It's very likely that none of these miracles would have happened had Peter not had the experience of being tested and failing. Because Jesus, in his mercy, prayed for the strength and the faith of Peter that it wouldn't fail. I told you this was very personal. And I've been praying, Lord, pray for my faith that it doesn't fail when I'm tested and when I fail. I don't want my faith in God to fail. I may make blunders in this life and in this role and in this world. I'm sure that I am. But I want my faith rock solid. Because I've told you before, church, I know that we're headed for some dark waters. And our faith must be strong. It must be rooted and grounded in Christ. For only then can Christ use us. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, "And I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." To a failure, a loser, a petulant, Jesus said, "I will build my church upon your faith and strength, and I will give to you the keys of the kingdom, and you will, and the devil will not prevail against you." Do we have the necessary level of faith that we need today? That he can accomplish his good pleasure in us? Do we believe that he'll be faithful to the end, no matter what that looks like? No matter what the tests are? Faith that he will never, ever leave us. Because our faith becomes grounded in him through our testings and our failures, just like it did with Peter. When we can say that our faith has been tried through the fire, like the gold is purified and refined. I want to close this with a song. Page 48 in your books, you all know it. This is my prayer. I came to the church Thursday morning seeking the Lord. Do I think we're sinners? No, of course not. But do I think there might be things in my heart that the Lord needs to root out now? I do. And that's what this song is all about. Search my heart, Lord. Find those little things that you don't want to be there, that might trip me up later on, and get them out now so that I can be usable, so that I can be flexible in your hand. Purge them from me now, Lord, for your glory. Will you sing it with me? I don't know that I can sing it all right this minute, but we're going to try it. 48. And I have to put it in a key that I can sing it. I know it's too low for everyone else. Search me. Oh, let's just stand in His presence. Father, take our will, our passion and our self and our pride. Whatever those things are, Lord Jesus, that aren't becoming to a bride, purge them from our hearts, Lord, and fill us instead with Your fire, the fire of Your holy presence, the fire of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we are in the will of the Lord now. Father, we give You praise and glory because we know that You love us. You loved Peter as he was, and You knew that he had a weakness, Lord. You knew that he needed help in this area, and You prayed for him. Pray for us now, Lord Jesus. Pray for me now, Lord, that I can be usable in Your hands. For there are many who need Your strength. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. I worship Your name, Lord. Thank You, Father, for Your love. Thank You for Your continuous watch and care over us, Lord. Continue to reveal in our hearts, Lord, those things that You want to remove and instead in their place, like You did with Peter, Lord. Give us Your strength. Give us Your fire. Give us Your miracle-working power to stand fast for You. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I'm so thankful. This thing wasn't done in a corner. It's real. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Oh, Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful. We're so small and You're such a big God. We need You, Lord. We thank You that You're there, that Your word has proclaimed that You will never leave us. Hallelujah. Thank You. Anyone else have anything you want to say? Teresa. Okay. She was a precious saint of God that went to this church for many years, raised her children. She taught Sunday school here. Lord, we just pray that you would make it easy. Open the gates wide and let her just flow in, Lord Jesus, and be with the family, Lord. Strengthen them, oh God. We love her to death. We just praise you for her life. And we thank you, Lord, that she will be in eternal glory very soon in your arms, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Frida? There is none too far away if we just turn to him. Anyone else? No? Father, we thank you for your presence again. We honor your presence, Lord. We covet your presence. Go with us today, Lord. Encourage hearts that are sad. Heal people, Lord, that we know who are sick. We don't want them to suffer, Lord Jesus. We thank you and give you praise in your precious holy name. Amen.